privilege to declare what a wonderful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. We're thankful, Father, you didn't want heaven without us. So, Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, but your love was greater. So what can separate us now? Come on, church, get in. Don't miss it. Because death could not hold you. You tore through the veil. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are now roaring the praises of your glory. For you and you alone have raised to life again. What a beautiful name it is. There's no one like you, Father. You always have our best interest in mind. Your thoughts of us are endless. You gave your Son that we would be redeemed, blood bought, washed through the blood of the Lamb. Hey. Wow, surely indeed it'd be. I'm not going to take much longer, but I got to do this. I just sense in my spirit this morning that there's a spirit of depression on somebody here. Is that possible? I'm only going to take a minute, because if you don't want it off you, we're going to keep moving. Anybody? Anyone else? Back here. That's good. I know there's more. Don't be ashamed. This stuff has a way of wrecking our lives, and we just give it all this room. Because we just, you know... Yeah, just hold your hands up, just please. There's going to be people coming after you. You can get in anytime, okay? Don't feel like if you didn't put your hand. I'm not cutting you short. If you don't raise your hand in the count of 1, 2, 3, you can't get in. No, come on. Yeah, this is the real thing. If you ever fought this, if you ever struggled with it, you understand. Depression. You have no authority in the lives of these children of God. Oh, my. There's a weighted presence here. Just declare it over. Come on, just break that thing off of them. We speak clarity of mind. We speak the things that used to speak lies into your life, into your heart. They are now broken. Oh, my. In Jesus' name. You got to renounce that thing too. Tell them it doesn't have a place in your life. Because chances are we don't even know, but unknowingly we feed that stuff in our heart and our spirit. We keep coming into agreement with it. Before long, it becomes twice as big as it should be. So we're just going to break that thing down. You no longer have a voice in these your children, in God's children. You must go now. Now. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is moving through the room. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, yeah. Just going to take another moment. In Jesus' name, we break that thing. Whew. Whew. Mm. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're going to start thinking like Jesus thinks. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Come on. Somebody getting set free up here. I like it. I got stuff flying everywhere. Yeah, you can have a seat if you can. Almost busted out on you and started singing. I figured I better not do that. Oh, Bob will get himself in trouble here. Start throwing things. There is power in the resurrection name of Jesus Christ. Today and every day of your life. How many of you are thankful it's not just for Easter morning? It's not just for early on Easter morning. If that's all you got, woo! Okay, you're starting to get a little loose now. I like that. But I do know this. Early one Easter morning, everything changed. Yeah. Oh. Everything changed. The shift that took place in the atmosphere in the second heavens and on the earth below, everything changed. When he hung between earth and heaven and he said, "It is finished," that is everything. Everything you would ever have to think about, worry about, every temptation, it's finished. From Jesus and God's side, the Father, everything's done. From that point on, it's all up to you. So if you're still struggling with that stuff, you have to ask yourself, who do you leave in charge? Sisters know it back there. I got it. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. Whew. So I'm gonna give it a shot here. I like how Luke says it. Very early that Sunday. the women made their way to the tomb carrying spices they had prepared. They had taken and prepared spices to anoint the body of Christ, to embalm the body of Christ, to preserve it. Okay, so now you have an idea what they were doing and why they were doing it. In fact, I think it may be Mark. Mark says, as they were making their way to the tomb, they begin to ask themselves, who's going to roll the stone away? Among these ladies were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, Jesus' mother. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in to look, but the tomb was empty. How many are thankful this morning? The tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. They stood there, stunned and perplexed. Suddenly, two men in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning, appeared above them. They're hovering. They're just suspended in space. And they look like lightning. That might get a little tension. The Bible says the ladies fell on their face in fear. But the next comment we cannot miss. This is a nugget that Holy Spirit is wanting to drop on us today. Terrified, the women fell on the ground on their faces, and the men in white said to them, "Why would you look for the living one in a tomb? Why would you look for a living one, the living one, the living one in a tomb?" And in case they didn't get that, they went ahead and made another proclamation. "He is not here, for he has risen." Come on, church. He said, "When everybody getting all woo-woo about he is risen?" That changes everything. Verse 6, it says, "You have forgotten what he said to you while he was still in Galilee." So they're having a conversation with the ladies. Why is it you're so perplexed? What is it you don't understand? What they got caught up in, that the tomb was empty, but what they completely missed is that he had risen. All they seen was a tomb that was empty. And their immediate response was, "Who took the body of Christ?" Oh my. He went on to say, "The Son of Man is destined to be handed over to sinful men, to be nailed to a cross. And on the third day, he will rise again." And all at once, they remembered his words. How many are thankful that the Lord continues to speak into our lives time and time and time again? Sometimes you feel like, aren't you thankful that he doesn't tell you something or drop a nugget on you and just say, "Okay, if you didn't get it this time, you're out of luck." They totally missed what was in front of them. But the Holy Spirit, through the angel, said, "Listen, don't you remember what he told you?" They then told them what he told them, and that's when they remembered. Church, we must hold on to the absolutes. We know that our Lord and Savior has risen. And because of that, we have eternal life. Leaving the tomb, they went to break the news to the 11 and to all the others of what they had seen and heard. But when the disciples heard the testimony of the women, it made no sense, and they were unable to believe what they heard. You know, it continually amazes me that when we share with people about the love of God, it makes no sense. And how often do we as believers, sons and daughters, struggle with the fact of who we are and whose we are? It's as if somehow we could do something that could cause him to love us any less. And we've almost been accustomed in our church worlds to believe that there's somehow we can fall out of grace. Now, I'm not talking about once saved, always saved, say your prayer and I'll see you in heaven. He didn't call them to get saved. He called them to be followers of Christ. So that means daily there was something that was taking place in my life. There's something that's taking place in my walk with Christ that continually makes me realize I need him more today than yesterday, and I need his influence in my life so that I can influence those around me. Amen? The testimony of the women made no sense. So they did not believe. The enemy is trying to attack you and make you be an unbeliever because he wants you to reason things out in your own intellect instead of understanding that the supernatural things of God, which we find hard to believe, God always intended for them to be a natural thing for us. You didn't catch that one, but a little bit later, maybe it'll come back to you. There's a few other things I'd like to share on this Easter morning. On this day of celebration. A day that we remember that Jesus restored mankind to the Father through redemption and positioned us as children of God, sons and daughter, for kingdom advancement by giving us the very keys to the kingdom. And I'm so thankful this morning that we can stand here and declare that Jesus broke the power of sin and death. And I declare over you today as a son and a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ that not only today, but every day, he died so that you would walk in resurrection power every day of your life. It's not just for Easter. It's not just for Christmas. Every day, resurrection power. And as I think about this story and how even the ladies missed the fact that the tomb was not just empty, but he had risen. I just want to make it very clear today that the rolling away of the stone wasn't so that Jesus could get out. Jesus did not need an angel to move a stone to get out of that tomb. Come on. Just in case you was thinking that way, I just want to make sure. You see, the stone was rolled away so that others could see and enter the empty tomb. And so that they would witness with their very eyes that Jesus had risen. There are so many things about the resurrection that I'm drawn to. But as we look at the women first who were at the tomb, they were totally convinced that someone had taken the bodies. But it was until the angels reminded them of what Jesus had told them that they actually began to come back around. And oftentimes, if we are not careful, church, we will miss out on what God is trying to show us in his word because we didn't look close enough. You see, it was Peter and John, the Bible tells us, that ran to the tomb to see the evidence that he had risen. So what was the evidence that he had risen? Not just that there was an empty tomb. How many of you know you still need an empty tomb to prove that? But what they didn't see, the ladies, caused them to believe. Could it have been that perhaps it was the linen burial cloths that had been unwrapped, that had not been unwrapped? It was the burial cloths that had not been unwrapped, but simply lying there empty. If someone would have taken the body of Christ, they would have probably taken him with the linen wrapped around him. If Jesus wouldn't have resurrected, then if they would have taken it off, they would have had to unwrap this linen or cut it off. The Bible tells us the linen lied there as though it had not been unwrapped and was completely empty. He vanished out of there. Yeah, and you're going to see a little bit later, he can just show up in the room anytime he wants to. He's just that way. Additionally, the cloth that had been wrapped around his head was folded up and placed aside. You see, as I began to search this out, I see in this illustration that Jesus took the time to do this. Jesus left everything pertaining to the old in the tomb. That which was wrapped around his body, the handkerchief that laid over his face, he left in the tomb that all those things that represented the old, from then on, everything became new. Oh, those are shouting things there. You can just stay as calm as you want. I'll probably just snap here in a minute or two. Oh, Jesus, help me. But I just love the fact that it was as almost as if Jesus took so much time. He told them repeatedly what was going to happen. Peter tried to rebuke him. Everything imaginable took place. What people continuously forgot, the things that he had said to them about what would happen to him, and then the final thing was that he would once again, in 3 days, raise from the dead. So much, though, that in the same chapter 24, verse 13, it starts out by saying, later that Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a journey of about 7 miles. They were in the midst of a discussion about all the events of the last days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in their journey. And when I read that, I'm just so thankful. How many of you are thankful that on your walk, in everyday walk, there's times when you sense the presence of the Lord just coming up alongside you and walking in your journey with you? Well, I'm so thankful because he took so much time that he kind of just happened to walk up on these guys. Isn't that interesting? They're walking down the road and all of a sudden there's a third guy there. Maybe I just think different. And he begins to ask him, why are you so sad? Why are you so gloomy? And then it's just like, wow, and you can see them looking at each other like, are you the only one in Jerusalem that has no idea what's just taken place? If they only knew. And the Bible says they walked, and as they walked, they walked in, and Jesus began to tell them story after story after story that proved all the things from his birth to that point in time pointing to the Messiah, him being Jesus. He began to tell them, so much so that as they got close to a city, they began to ask Jesus, knowing they knew who he was. They said, he acted as if he was going to go ahead and go on further. Which tells me at times, if we're not cautious, if we're not aware of the presence of God in our midst, if we step over to the side, he's just going to keep walking. The Bible tells us that the men ask him to stay with them. Said, it's getting dark. Why don't you stay and have something to eat with us? And the Bible says as they sit down at the table, can you imagine it? I can see him now reaching across the table and taking the bread and breaking it. And blessing it and giving it to him. The Bible says when they did that, their eyes were opened. The thing that they were familiar with, one thing that they could remember, I remember how he loved me. I remember how he'd sit across from us and take the bread and break it and bless it and say, take and eat. And it was in that moment that the Bible says that they were completely overwhelmed. And I love how the Passion says it here. And I hope I can find it quick enough to read it to you. Yeah. And all at once, after he had taken the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to him, the Bible says in the Passion says, and all at once their eyes were opened and they recognized that it was Jesus. Then suddenly, in a flash, Jesus vanished before their eyes. Stunned, the men looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognize it was him?" Didn't our hearts, can you imagine? Didn't our hearts burn with flames of holy passion while he walked beside us? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from his scriptures. And I think, how often do we get so busy, church, that we don't recognize the hovering of Holy Spirit in our lives? And that's why I just felt the wrapping around of his loving arms when we first started. I wasn't trying to figure out what we were going to do next. I was, but I didn't want you to know that. But I didn't want to miss when he comes into the room and wraps his arms around us. Because he has a way of breaking all the rough edges off of us. He has a way of making our hearts burn. It's just like one touch from him. All I need is just one touch from you, God. I don't need all this other stuff. I'm here for you. I love being with all of you guys. Don't get me wrong. But I want to be with him. And I caution you this morning, what is causing your heart not to burn anymore? I'm not just implying. I don't read between lines. Listen, church. We get so busy, we kind of can do life without him. Before long, it's Sunday to Sunday. Before long, it's every other Sunday. You see, what the Holy Spirit showed me about this was that they recognized him when they remembered the encounter they had with him. You see, the only thing that really dissolves the blindness from our eyes is the breaking of the bread, the breaking of the Word of God. As he spoke words of life, everything changed for him. When he vanished, the Bible says they turned around and they ran back to where the disciples were. How many of you every once in a while get to the place where you realize, hey, I'm going the wrong direction, but I'm getting back there quick? So I want to ask you today, does your heart still burn when he speaks to you? When's the last time you remembered what he said about you? The church, it's time we start holding ourselves accountable to what he says. I don't want to sit down in front of somebody and say, well, have you smoked this week? Have you done this? I want to sit down with somebody and say, has your heart been burning for Jesus Christ? I want to hold you accountable to what he says over you. You see, the two disciples, I believe, missed history's greatest event because they were focused on their own disappointments and problems. And I believe that the enemy is taking the church out by making her focus on disappointments and problems. The men didn't even recognize Jesus, but the most serious thing they were doing is they found themselves going in the wrong direction. But Jesus still spent enough. It was still was important to him that he walked up on these guys and changed the course of history for them. You see, these men were convinced that Jesus would deliver them and set up a kingdom. But they had totally overlooked that the reason why he came was to redeem mankind from their sin. You see, church, it wasn't so much that the tomb was empty. It was all about the fact that he had risen. I'll be done in a minute. I'm going to go to John chapter 20. Because I just feel it's such a now word for us as the body of Christ. It starts out, that evening the disciples gathered together because they were afraid of the reprisals from the Jewish leaders. They had been accused of everything. Matthew tells us that the soldiers, after they got up off the ground, the Bible says when the angel appeared, they fell on the ground like dead men. They got up off and they ran back to tell the Jewish leaders and to tell the governmental people, hey, the body, we've seen the angel and he's gone. The Bible says they paid them large sums of money to lie that the disciples had come and taken the body. So the disciples had been hearing all these rumors. They didn't believe what the women were telling them about Jesus not being there because they hadn't seen him. Blessed are those who have not seen. So going through all these things, they go and they lock themselves in a room. They're hiding away. And I love how it says, but suddenly. How many are thankful for the suddenlies of God? Yeah. And how often do we miss those suddenlies because we're not looking deep enough? But suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, peace to you. There's so much weight on that, church. If there's some things that are going on in our lives that how important it is to have the peace of Holy Spirit resting and abiding in my life. When turmoil seems to be going all around us, every little thing happens. The phone starts ringing and it's someone you don't want to talk to. Hello, anybody got that? And I want to talk to all of you guys. You can call me anytime. It's just we find ourselves in these places and we say, God, all I need is peace. I want you to know, isn't it amazing that the first thing Jesus said to him when he appeared to him, not stick your hands here, not do this, I want to prove that I'm alive. He says, peace be to you. Because without peace, your mind's going to end up being distracted by the things that are around you. Then went on to say that he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed to see the Lord and with their own eyes. And Jesus once again repeated the greeting that he said, peace to you. And then he took a deep breath and he blew on them and said, receive Holy Spirit. Receive Holy Spirit. As I begin to dig into that, don't miss this. I went right past it the first service. When I began to look into the Word and see what the commentators were saying, and the theologians, it became very apparent that it was referencing the time when God took a pile of dust and he formed it into a man that laid there lifeless. The Bible tells us that the God of heaven bowed down and blew air into his nostrils. And when I looked at both situations, the circumstances were the same. I'm breathing over you afresh and anew, he was telling them. The thing you need the most is the Holy Spirit. Won't you stand with me? Church, God's given us all so many giftings in the church, and if we're not careful, we almost think we can make it to heaven by the giftings he's given us, or even function in everyday life. The truth is, without the empowering Holy Spirit, without a fresh Barak word, without a fresh breath of heaven over you, it's not possible. Jesus knew he had to speak peace over them because fear was running rampant. But he also knew that he had to once again breathe life into these men because they were now going to carry the gospel. They were being commissioned by the Holy Spirit to go throughout the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, declaring that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And I just speak over you today how important it is for you to daily allow Holy Spirit to breathe into your being. Don't think that you can get one touch and make it. Well, let me ask you this way. Because I'm not saying that just because he breathes on you once, you're not going to make it to heaven. No. But why in the world do you want to go on life with just one encounter? You got to tell me. You have to tell me. Why do you want to go through life not having the intimacy with the Lord? And he's breathing on you daily. When you're getting into his word, it becomes alive. It becomes a rhema word. It begins to burn in your spirit, in your heart. To drive you to a place where you realize that all things are possible through him. Hey. So I ask you this morning, how much of Holy Spirit are you willing to live with? I'm not going after that Brill cream either. I don't know where that came from. That is not in the notes. So why don't you close your eyes with me? Let's put our hands out in front of us, if you would, just symbolically. I you know, sometimes when people ask you to do things, people get squirrely. Father, we need a fresh breath from heaven today. We know you're alive. We know you're risen. We know you have no rivals. We know the death could not hold you. But God, we need a fresh breath of Holy Spirit on us today to empower us to not only live a life of abundance, but to be the witness for Jesus Christ that we should be. You are the body of Christ. You have been commissioned to spread and teach the gospel of Christ. So God, I pray now, as we lift up our hands and surrender to you, Father God, breathe over us again. Hey. Breathe over us again, afresh and anew. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears and our hearts so we don't miss anything you have for us. Jesus. Jesus. We need you, God. We need you, God. So I'm asking you this morning, how many of you just say, you know what, when you start talking about peace, I need some peace in my life. Is there anybody who just feel like you got, I want you to come on up front. There's such an anointing up in, I tell you, it's thick. You need peace. You need peace of God on your situations. You're just tired of just carrying all this stuff. You need people to come in agreement with you. The peace of God is for you. It's for you. Come on up here. Make a line. Come on. If we get some helpers, school ministry people, come on up here. Come on up here, prayer people. Come on, Jesus. Come on. You need peace. I want some peace in my life. That peace is for you. When he spoke it over his disciples, it's for you today. Peace be to you. Yeah. How many of you are sitting here, standing here this morning with me and say, you know what? I need a fresh encounter of Holy Spirit. I need more than I've tasted so far. I know there's more. Life's been great, but the more I taste, the more I want. If you're here today and you want more of the Holy Spirit today, you want a fresh infilling, I want you to come on up. Come on up. Meet us here. Whew. I felt this strong in the first service, and I feel it to be in the second. If someone comes over to you and prays for you, just tell them what you're asking God for. I feel like God wants to restore relationships in families today. We went after that hard the first service, and I believe God wants to do it again this service. Yeah, I want you to. Yeah, and then Lisa Clark's right here. We prayed for Fred this morning. If some of the ladies could come around, Lisa too, we want to agree that Fred's going to, she said things were getting better. By the time she gets a report this afternoon, we're declaring everything's changing. He's going to be sitting up in that bed. He's going to be telling them to give him a steak or something. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, he won't get one there in the hospital, but he give him something. We'll take him one. Yeah, pray resurrection power over Fred this morning. Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? Phew. Well, let me pray over you this morning as the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for the power of the resurrection, Lord, that is abiding within us, your children, today. We're carriers. We're carriers of Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, we just speak, everywhere we go becomes a perfect health zone. Divine, I speak divine health over your children today. Divine health. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I speak breakthrough on every front here today. Father, we speak peace. We speak the joy of the Lord into every situation. Yeah. In Jesus' name. There's a lot of great ministry going up here. I bless you today. I bless your relationship today, the time with family. I just speak over you today, such an infilling of Holy Spirit that you find it hard to stop thinking about Him. So when you have one of those days, you can blame it on me. In Jesus' name, get them, Jesus. Get them, Holy Spirit. Just wreck them today. That's all. Just you allowed to say that? Just wreck them. Just wreck them a little bit. I don't know. I'm going to say it anyway. Go ahead. So I bless you today in Jesus' name. Have a great Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Let's keep going after all that God has for us. Amen. God bless you. If you're here and you need some prayer, we'll love to pray with you.